Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? Woo, I'm excited. It feels like the last day of school year when you're in fifth grade, right? Doesn't that feel like that's always the greatest? All your tests are done, and you know all you're going to do is eat candy and have fun, and there's no prayer. And that's kind of like what it is today. It's like, woo, we made it, and we're getting ready to pack up and move out of here. So if you're not familiar, if this is your first time or you don't know about this, we've been down here in Micanopy for 12 years. We thought it was going to be about a year. We started in Gainesville, and so it's been our goal since we've been down here to get back to Gainesville, and we're moving. Today, we're actually moving, so it's a great day. We're moving straight up this same road, just across the prairie on the right when you get to Williston Road. That's our new building. Most of you know about that. You've been working hard on the new building, put a lot of effort into it. It's taken way longer than we ever thought, and it's cost way more than we had predicted, but we're moving today. Amen. So, well, I'll tell you more about that at the end of the service, but why we're moving is to better fulfill our vision. Very simply, we originally started in Gainesville because we want to be where people are, because our church is all about helping people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose in life, and then make a difference. So that's what we're all about. And that's why we're moving, is to help people do those four things. And tonight we're going to have some work nights this week. We're going to move today, the end of the service. Anybody that wants to stay, if you can't stay, that's fine. We're going to put stuff, we're going to go over detailed instructions at the end of the service. We've got a truck and a trailer and some other vehicles. We're going to move it to the church, unload it, and put it in the new building. So this coming week is going to be a action-packed, busy week, very busy, okay? The sound system has to be set up. There's still some work to be done, painting to be done, put stuff in place, and so forth. So we're going to have work nights Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night. Everybody say Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Work nights for sure, like from 5 till 9, whenever you can get there, putting stuff in its place, okay? So because the doors are up, hallelujah, we've been praying for the doors. The doors are up, praise the Lord. And they've got the jams on, but they haven't done all the baseboards. So they should be done Monday, Tuesday for sure. So Tuesday night, we'll be able to put everything in its... Today, we're going to put everything in its appropriate room, but since they still have to put up the baseboards, we can't actually put it in its correct place. So Tuesday night, we'll be able to put it where it belongs in the room because the baseboards will be done. Wednesday night, we'll work again. Thursday night, the company that we contracted is coming in Wednesday and Thursday for sound. There's just going to be a lot to be done this week. Next Saturday, 10 to 2, we'll have another work day because we will have service there a week from today. We'll have service. So there's a lot to do between now and then. There's a lot to do this coming week. It's kind of like all hands on deck. Cancel your vacation, your wedding, cancel any funerals, tell people don't die. Just kidding. But it's going to be a busy week. And we'll be there probably all day, every day this week. If you're free during the day, contact Pastor Mike. You know, 90% chance somebody's going to be there like all day. There's just going to be a lot going on. So we'd love your help. We'll get it all done because, like I say, we got to go from here to there in 1 week and have a functioning service. So it's not going to be 100% this Sunday, but you know, I'm sure there's going to be more stuff that we have to tweak. But you get the idea. There's a lot to do this week, and it is very exciting. So I am super proud of everybody in this church, of what you've done in the last 10 months, really a year. We started this process the end of June, negotiating with the guy that had the building. That took several months. It looked like, oh, we're going to have a deal. We're not going to be able to make a deal. We made the deal. We signed the lease in October. We thought we'd be in by January. It has been a lot of delays and, you know, anticipation and people not doing what they said they were going to do at the right time. And now it's done, so we're going to move today. So that's good news. And you all have given and given and given. You've given prayer, which I think has been very important. You've given your time in serving. I mean, boy, one of these days I'm going to go through and list everybody how much work people have done and sacrifice. You've also given, you know, super financially we've received, I think we have that figure here, this much, $79,777. Some reason I love that 777 on there. I don't know, it's kind of cool. This is how much you've given. It has cost a lot more than that, so if you have some thousands laying around in your mattress or something, you can still throw that in. But it is actually happening today. But our grand opening will be September 15th. Grand opening is September 15th. That's the day that we announce to the whole world that we are opening. Because, you know, there's going to be things that we have to work out. Also, strategically, as far as church studies go, and what is a strategic time to launch into a new area, September is the best month of the year to launch a church. And January is the second best. So we're capitalizing on that. You don't want to launch during the summer. People are just moving around and too busy. So it works out great. We have, you know, August to get our act together, and we're going to do a media blitz, a direct mail, and some social media the first 2 weeks of September, and we're going to be letting people know September 15th is our grand opening. By then, we should have everything in place and working well, so that's going to be our grand opening. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm glad you're here. In your worship guide are some sermon notes. I have a message for us, and then we're going to start moving. All right? I'll give you more instructions on that. All right, if you need an extra copy, there's one copy in each worship guide of the sermon notes, but if you need an extra copy, raise your hand. We have an usher, a couple ushers ready. I'd love to give you an extra copy of the notes if you like taking notes. So the title of my message is Leaving with Grace. Leaving with Grace. It's our last service here. Can you believe that? Our last service. And I usually share this axiom at, you know, New Year's Day, starting a new year, and it is this: the way you leave one room is the way you enter the next room, right? If you walk through that door, if you're angry when you go out of here into that room, you're angry when you go into. If you're happy, you leave happy, you enter happy, right? So I wanted to talk today about how we leave Micanopy determines how we re-enter Gainesville. And this, you'll find these truths not just for our church, but for you as an individual. And what I felt like the Lord was saying to us as a church, to put this down and to set the standard as we go to Gainesville, is to be sure we leave Micanopy full of grace. We have grace. We leave Micanopy with grace. Then we will enter Gainesville with grace, because grace is what it's going to take to reach the lost, to reach the dying, the hurting, the broken that are in Gainesville. Well, they need grace. They don't need law. They don't need more rules, more regulations, more do this and do that. They need a relationship with God that was established on an old rugged cross 2,000 years ago by a man named Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh, and he brought grace to all mankind. And we need to understand that, and we need to apply that. And that's what we need to bring to people. I want to talk about this and go into some details, how we walk in grace in our marriage, with our children, at our job, where you live, when you drive down the street in your car, when someone cuts you off, how you put grace into your life. And the grace that you give will determine the grace that you get. Yeah, this is just a principle from the Word of God, Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given unto you. If you plant watermelon seeds, what are you going to get? Apples? Oranges? No, you're going to get more of what you planted. So if we put and make a determination in our heart to put grace in our life and to treat people with grace, it will open the windows of heaven and grace will be poured out on our life. And I need grace. I don't know about you. I need grace. Yeah, you need grace. We all need grace. And we're going to talk about what that is today. So that's the theme for my message today. As we leave Micanopy, I want to talk about getting more grace in our, receiving more grace from heaven. And the only way to do that is to put more grace in our life, inculcate grace into our life as a habit pattern, so that we're extending grace wherever we go. The more I extend grace to other people, the more God opens the windows of heaven and pours out grace on me. I need grace. I need grace. I make mistakes. I know you all don't, but I do. And when you make mistakes, you need grace. If you never make any mistakes, you don't really need grace, because you're perfect. But see, there's none of us like that. And there has to come a time in your life when you realize I make mistakes, and it's okay to make mistakes because that just opens a bigger window in heaven for more grace for my life. Right. How you leave one room determines how you enter the next room. How we leave this building will determine how we enter the new building. I felt by the Holy Spirit that we should take communion today after the message, and then we're going to take communion. And the first Sunday in there, we're going to take communion there. I felt like we should leave taking communion. We should enter taking communion. We're going to do that today. We're going to leave with grace and enter with grace. Grace doesn't always mean easy. So the devil tries to beat us up because sometimes we have so many difficulties in our life, and he says, look how bad you are. No, look at the life of Paul. Paul always walked in grace. He was full of grace. He spoke grace. He gave grace. And he had one of the most difficult, challenging lives of anybody ever lived on the planet. So grace doesn't mean easy. What grace means is victory. Paul always won the battles that he faced. Walking in grace didn't mean that he wouldn't have any battles. So sometimes you're in a battle and the devil tries to beat you up just by virtue of the fact that you're in a battle. Don't let him do that. You look at him and say, I know how this is going to end up. I'm going to win. I'm going to come through this thing stronger and better. See, victory means there has to be a battle. Only way you can get a victory is to have a battle or be in some type of a contest. And we have an adversary, the devil, and he wants to eat our lunch. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And we have to have it in our heart that we're going to get the victory in every one of those areas. It wasn't easy getting into this building. Some days I thought, is it going to happen? I mean, are we ever going to make it? It hasn't been easy. It hasn't been easy, but that doesn't mean you're not doing the will of God. If Paul determined whether he was in the will of God by doing things easy, he never was in the will of God. But he was. God spoke to him, sent an angel, appeared to him, and said, go to Macedonia. And they literally stoned him to death, and God had to raise him from the dead. And they put him in prison. I mean, so many bad things happened to him, obeying direct commands from God. That's the world. Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And when we know that, we overcome the world also. My scripture today, believe it or not, I only have one scripture. It's John 1:17, which is this principle here. What I'm talking about, the body of Christ, the church, the Christian church, the church of Christ all over the world is a beautiful thing because it's multifaceted. They have different personalities, different focuses, I understand I've met pastors, or their thing is, you know, just the law, and people would obey the law. I understand where they're coming from. That is not what characterizes our church. To me, what characterizes our church is grace. And it's right here in this scripture right here. It says the law was given through Moses. I mean, you know, Moses was in the Old Testament. You say, yeah, but that's the Bible. Yes, it is. But watch this. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. We are in a new covenant. That's what Jesus said when he took communion, which we're going to take today. He said, this is the blood of a new covenant. So we have in the Bible, if you look at your Bible, there's 66 books. And the first half from Genesis to Malachi is called the Old Covenant. And then in Matthew starts the introduction of the life of Jesus. From Matthew to Revelation, there's 27 books in the New Testament, and then that's called the New Testament. That is the covenant that we are under. We are not under the Old Covenant. Is there anything wrong with the Old Covenant? No, but the Bible says it was a schoolmaster to teach us how to live in the New Covenant. So though we understand and look at the Old Covenant, and it is true, we are not under that. We're under a new covenant. It's a covenant of grace and truth. Grace and truth. You see that in this verse. Under Moses, the Old Covenant was under the law. There was grace in the Old Covenant, but you accessed it through basically being perfect, by doing everything right and then making an atonement for your mistakes. In the new covenant, we access grace by faith. We use our faith. And we don't break the law, but we're not under the law, we're under grace. So I don't want to spend too much time on that, just kind of overview between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The important thing is to realize we're in the New Testament. And I like to tell new believers, when you give them a Bible, don't start in Genesis, start in Matthew. Read the New Testament. Because in the Old Testament is the New Testament contained, in the New Testament is the Old Testament explained. So where we live now, it's better to read the New Testament first because it explains the Old Testament. Read the New Testament first, then read the Old Testament. Because if you read it first and you're new to Christianity, it's going to be difficult to decipher because you have to read the New first because it explains the Old. And it's, you get to see what's been done away. We're not under the Old Covenant. So there's the Old Covenant, the New Covenant. The Old Covenant was characterized by the law. The New Covenant is characterized by grace and truth. So what is grace? A good, simple understanding of grace has two dimensions to it. One is divine favor. The other is a divine empowerment. And to me, that's the two directions. There's two aspects to grace. We all need grace. We want grace, and we want more grace, right? I'm with the right crowd here today, okay? As we get grace, it does two things. There's verses that say, your favor surrounds me like a shield. When I think of grace in pictorial terms, I see like this force field around me and around you. That where you go, people like, okay, let me give you an explanation. You know, Michael Crames, he's our campus minister. He broke his ankle, and he was telling me this morning they went, got an x-ray, So he doesn't have insurance, so he's talking to them, and they said, well, look, here, we're going to work with you. In fact, they said, the girl said, don't tell anybody, I'm giving you this special discount. That's grace. And you'll see that happen continually throughout your life. Little things like that, they add up. People do stuff. That's grace. It's favor with doors open that you know, for no reason, unexpected. So to me, there's two dimensions to grace. It's that cloud around you where people want to give you deals, they give you free stuff, they like you, they say that's one aspect of grace. It's like a force field around you that goes with you everywhere you go. There's another aspect to grace, and I see it this way. I see it like a column that goes up to heaven where God is pouring stuff down on the inside of me that gives me strength for the challenges of life. So it's a favor. It's favor with man, and it's a divine empowerment. It's two things. It's divine favor, a favor that you get that you can't create yourself, and an empowerment, giving you power that you don't have from within yourself, a power that comes from heaven. And we need both. The Westminster Catechism defines grace as God's influence acting in man to make him pure and morally strong. That, to me, that's that connection, that vertical connection, that grace to make you pure. Sometimes when you're struggling with stuff, struggling with addictions or habits and stuff, cry out for grace. Hook your faith up with grace, and a divine empowerment will come into you that will enable you to live strong in this life and glorify God. And believe for favor, for doors to open, for God to help you. We need both. So grace is, and this is in your notes if you like filling in the blank, grace is getting something good that you don't deserve. Yeah. It's getting something good that you don't deserve, but you got it anyway. Grace is divine favor. Grace is when God blesses you even though you don't deserve it. Grace is also a divine empowerment. Now, we as individuals cannot extend grace to the extent that God can. That makes sense, right? I mean, He just creates stuff out of nothing. In the Latin Vulgate, where the entire Bible is translated in the beginning, when He made the earth, it says ex nihilo, out of nothing. That's how He makes stuff. He just speaks things into existence. Now, I don't do that, and we can tap into God's power, and supernatural stuff will happen through us. But we will never be able to extend grace to the extent that God does. That makes perfect sense, right? But we need to extend grace to the extent that we can. The more I use the opportunities that are before me, to extend grace to someone else, the more God will use that as an opportunity to extend new grace to you. And we need to take advantage of those opportunities. So how can you be gracious? How can you use the opportunities that you have in this life to be gracious? Let me give you some examples. We're gracious when we're kind. That's something that's within our capacity. You have a choice, you know, an opportunity. If somebody's mean to you, you can be mean back or you can be kind. When you shift over and you say, well, I'm just going to be kind, boom, that's grace. That's extending somebody grace. That's maybe being mean to you. Maybe they don't deserve it, right? But you give it to them anyway. You've extended grace. God moves grace into your life. I mean, want grace, more grace in your life? I'm going to give you some practical ways to get more grace. And we're the bottleneck. We're the governor, we're the carburetor, we're the one that allows this flow to take place on how we handle little decisions in life, attitudes, words, what comes out of our mouth, how we treat people, how we treat somebody who mistreats us or treats us rude. If you want to give it back to them? That's the law. The law was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You're mean to me, I'm mean to you. And you know what? You can do that. But there's no grace there. You haven't released any grace. You haven't given out any grace, and so you haven't opened up an access to grace. That's fine if you want to treat people like that. They actually deserve it, don't they? Go ahead. And what I'm offering to you today is that we can move into another realm, another level. If I want grace to come from Christ, from that cross into my life, I have to extend. I don't deserve the forgiveness that I've received from the cross. I don't deserve to be alive today. I don't know why I'm still here today. I don't deserve the things that God's done for me. I don't deserve to have been healed so many times. I don't deserve the favor that I've received, but I want more. So I have not gotten what I deserve in this life. But if I start treating people that way and giving them what they deserve, then I cut off my access to continue to receiving what I don't deserve. And I want more of what I don't deserve. I want more grace. So I have to treat people kindly. When you forgive, they don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. But when you forgive someone that doesn't deserve it, you get forgiveness when you don't deserve it. We're not gracious when we're mean. When you're mean, you're not being gracious. There was an opportunity. That was an opportunity there to give out some grace, and that would access more grace into my life. We're not gracious when we're judgmental. Yeah, we are not gracious when we're harsh, when we're exacting. You did this, you're just getting what you deserve. You ever thought that about somebody? Well, they're just getting what they deserve. That might be true, and you can go down that road, but I'm not extending any grace, so I'm not opening up access to any more grace. Talking about how we get more grace in our life. When we treat people the way God treats us, that's grace. When you think about what he's done for you, maybe we need to treat people that same way. When you think about what he could have said the day that he appeared to me, I was raised in a church environment, and I knew the life that I was living, and the Lord appeared to me, and I was ready for a fight. I fully expected him to read a long litany of all my sins, and instead he said, I love you, and it crushed me, and I fell to the ground. I said, I'm going to live the rest of my life for you. I didn't get what I deserve. And if we don't give people what they deserve, we will get what we don't deserve. We extend grace. When you treat people the way God treats you, that's grace. When you believe the best in someone, has God always believed the best in you? I've heard prophecies over people sometime, God speaking through another individual and prophesied, and I'm thinking, oh, that guy is, you don't know that guy. That was my roommate. I remember in L.A., and there was this prophecy from this, like, world-renowned prophet. Spoke this prophecy over him, and I thought, you don't see his bed in the morning. You don't see the kitchen sink. You haven't seen, you don't know. And God corrected me. I was mad. I was going to go to the pastor and say, that guy's a false prophet, because you know what he's, and I was preparing to do that. And God spoke to me and said, I'm not prophesying what he is. I'm prophesying what I've called him to be. It was like, oh, man. I thought the guy totally missed it because he wasn't reading them. And God's saying, I can't prophesy where you're at. I prophesy where you need to be. Well, that's a whole different thing. That's the way God looks at us. He doesn't look at us in our miserable state that we're in at this moment. He sees the way he created us, and that's the way he deals with us. That's the way we have to treat our children. Not dealing with them with where they're at, but treating them like they're at where we want them to be, because that's the way God treats us. When we believe the best in someone, that's grace. When we go beyond the call of duty, that's grace. When you don't hold a grudge, that's grace. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you are holding the grudge? You're holding back grace. You say, but you don't know. Yeah, I know. I don't know. But that's your opportunity. That's your opportunity to extend them grace, because you know what? You need grace. God could hold a grudge against us. When you help someone, that's grace. When you serve someone, that's grace. When you give someone the benefit of the doubt, that's grace. So it's time for us to leave Micanopy. But it's time to go to Gainesville. It's time to rise to a new level. It's time for us to get better as a church. And the area that I want us to get better in is extending grace to everyone we come in contact with. Because as a church, we need more grace. We need favor and we need empowerment as we go in. We've already seen there's a lot of people that are just coming and going. There's going to be a lot of need. We have to extend a lot of grace. And when we extend that grace, we're going to get grace. It's time, I believe, for Victory Church to get better. It's time to increase. It's time to give more grace so we can get more grace. You know what? Jesus is coming back, folks. Did you know that? The earth is not our home. This is not our permanent home. That's where we're at right now, but this is not eternity. Earth is not eternal. Earth is temporary. You have an eternal home. You're laying up treasure in heaven. I want to lay up treasure for my eternal home, not my temporary home. We're not laying up treasure on this earth. It's time to change our focus. The earth is passing away. Heaven is for real, and guess what? Hell is for real. As we move to Gainesville, the people of Gainesville are on our heart. We don't want the people in Gainesville to go to hell. We don't want them spending a Christless eternity separated forever from God. That's our heart. That's why we're moving to Gainesville. We want them to go to heaven, each and every one of them, no matter what they look like, no matter what they act like right now. Don't judge somebody by how they act right now. I'm glad God didn't judge me by how I was acting at that moment. He came. He saw my potential. He sees your potential. He believes in you. He knows there's a great future for you. Have the same attitude toward everybody we meet in Gainesville. Everybody we meet was created by God for more. They were created for eternity. We want to make it, as we go to Gainesville, we want to make it hard for people to go to hell from Gainesville. We want to make it hard for them to go to hell and easy to go to heaven. We want to make it easy. You know what? I was talking about some people, like their theology is, it's hard to get to heaven. You know, it's really not. It's really very simple and very easy. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Jesus said, Lord, thou shalt be saved. That's what Romans 10 says. That's what the Bible says. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Well, let's not overcomplicate it. It's pretty simple. Now, the Christian life, that's a journey. And there's a lot to it, but getting in is easy. Let's not make it hard to get in. We're going to make the most of our time here on this earth. We want to, as a church, plunder hell and populate heaven. Amen. The new building will be a base camp for us to reach our city. It's a new day for Victory Church. I really believe that. We're coming in to fulfill our full potential. And I believe that every one of us needs to go to a new level in being about the Father's business. I just want to challenge you. Yeah, we have our own business, we have our own life, and we have to do those things. But could I invest more in my eternal rewards? I just want to challenge you with that. And we need to be about the Father's business, and which is helping people as a church. It's four things we want to do. Help people know God. That's pretty simple. Help people know God. Help people find freedom, because you know what? You pick up a bunch of baggage in this life. Even after you get rid of it all, tomorrow somebody will give you a new piece of baggage to pick up. It's a constant process. We're helping people discover their purpose in life. Everybody has a purpose in this life. We're helping people make a difference by using the gifts and talents and abilities that God has given you. Discover them and use them for God's glory. What's the common theme in those four things that I just said? helping people. That's what Victory Church is, helping people. You know what? Because God has helped me, and if I want more grace, I need to help people. Church is about two things. It's in your notes, and it's this. I can sum it up like this. What is church all about? It's about honoring God and helping people. Number one is honoring God. You have to put God first, honor Him in everything that you do. That's why you're in church today. You honor God. That's why you give a tenth of your income. Put God first in your finances, because you're honoring God. That's why good words come out of your mouth. Honoring God. Don't take His name in vain. So the first thing a church does is honor God. And the second thing a church does is help people. That's what church is all about. Honoring God and helping people. When you serve on the dream team, you're helping people. You might be in the nursery, but you're making the service spot. You might be on the soundboard. You might have come during the week and cleaned the building. It's part of the package. It's what we do, is help people. We've seen over 2,000 people receive Christ as Lord and Savior through Sunday services, and you're making that happen. We're going to keep honoring God as we move to Gainesville. I'm talking about setting the stage, what we're leaving behind and what we're going forward to. We're going to keep honoring God by worshiping together, by keeping the Sabbath holy, by praying together, by lifting up His name, by giving God our time. There's three things you can give God: your time, your talent, and your treasure. And you ought to always be checking in with God. How am I doing? How am I doing? I'm giving you my time. How am I doing with the talent that you've given me, giving it back to you? How am I doing with the treasure that you've given me? Check in with God. Three things you can give God. Helping people through an inspiring Sunday service, through life-changing small groups. This is what we do. This is what you're a part of. This is what we're taking to Gainesville. By a meaningful discovery process where you discover the church and discover your gifts, and by God-honoring dream teams. It's a new chapter. It's a new chapter for Victory Church. It is. This is a huge chapter change, a new one. It's almost like a new book. We're starting to write a new adventure, a new chapter, a new phase in our life. A couple weeks ago, we celebrated our 20-year anniversary. Hallelujah. And I share with you, if you weren't here for that, I just want to encourage you to go on the website and listen to that message, because I think it's a landmark. It's key for us to hear as a church on where we're going. We're not looking back at the 20 years and just saying, oh, wasn't that great? We're looking forward to the next 20 years. And I believe as we turn this corner and move to Gainesville, the next 20 years will be our best 20 years. Be awesome 20 years. Doing the same thing, honoring God, helping people. Honoring God, helping people. Are you in for the journey? Are you ready for the journey? Hallelujah. Let's just pray right now and just search our hearts and say, Lord, have I got my priorities right in this life? Have I got my priorities right with my time? Is there anything I need to adjust? Is there some portion of my time that I'm giving to this earth that I could be giving to heaven? What about your talent? The talent that God gave you. He gave you all kinds of different talents. Let's ask God, am I allocating my talent properly? I want to be sure I'm not investing 100% in this earth, that I'm investing an appropriate amount in eternity. Am I giving my talent to eternity, to my future, to heaven, to God? What about your treasure, your finances, your resources, your material goods that God has blessed you with? We're so blessed in America. Am I giving the right amount to God? I don't want to get in the pit where I'm consuming it all on myself. I want to be sure I'm honoring God with my treasure. You just pray about that for a second. And while we're here, I'm just going to ask everybody to bow their heads, close their eyes, because I got a very important question for you right now, and that is this. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here today. You say, I don't know. I think so. I hope so. I'm not sure. Can anybody know for sure? Well, first of all, that's a pretty important consequence to not be sure about. And secondly, yes, you can know, because the Bible says, I've written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. He said, you must be born again. That means there comes a time in your life when you surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive your sins, and he comes and he lives on the inside of you, and he makes you into a new person. That's how simple it is. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Having a Bible doesn't make you a Christian. Having Christian parents doesn't make you a Christian. You have to be born again. If you've never done that, you're not sure if you've ever done that. That's why you're here today. In just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and we're going to take care of that. But you might be here today, and you say, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today, to be honest with you, I am not where I want to be with God. But I want to make a decision today to get back on track and be everything that God created me to be. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come forward, but I'm going to ask you in just a moment to raise your hand and say, that's me, count me in this prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If either one of those two apply to you and today is a fresh start, would you just slip up your hand and say, yeah, that's me. I'm making a decision right now. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. Put your hands down. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Everybody pray this prayer with them. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. You died on a cross for my sins. God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day and forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God.